Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
No, you've got other girls for that.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. Lily May is a singer and multi-instrumentalist. She's based in Nashville, and she has one of those kind of honeyed vocals that just screams country music. But if you listen, country is just one part of a big, colorful mix on her record. You get a chance to hear the echoes of 60s pop and psychedelic rock and traditional folk music as well. Her brand new album is called Other Girls, and it brings Lily May and her band here to our studio, and they're going to start us off with a song called I Came for the Band.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's so awesome to be here.
Thanks.
Appreciate it a whole lot. 1, 2. I didn't come to take you home. I didn't come to be alone. I didn't come today at all. I came here for the show. I didn't come to make the scene. Didn't come here for a ride. I didn't come to change my mind or come here to try. And it's too late to smile. Clock. I didn't come so you could talk. I didn't come so you could sing. I came here for me. I didn't come here for a while. Didn't come to burn some leaves. I didn't come here not to dance. I came for the band. And it's too late to smile. You've already shown me you.
That is Lily May with I Came for the Band, which is a track from her brand new album called Other Girls, which officially comes out tomorrow, right?
It does. It sure does. Yeah. Woo!
Lily May, great to have you here with
Thank
us today.
Thank you so
today.
Much.
You've got the guitar in hand. You also play the fiddle.
I do.
And, of course, the band here, I might as well introduce the members of the band because at least in part it's a family group. Got a couple of siblings.
A couple of us.
Yeah. Scarlett Rishi playing the mandolin and helping out on backing vocals. And Frank Rishi playing the electric guitar and some backing vocals. And then the musical family also includes your bass player, Brian Zahn. And Misa Arriaga, who is behind our drum kit here in the New Sound Studio on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. So you have kind of a fascinating background. You and obviously Frank and Scarlett all growing up in a family band, right?
Yes, sir. So,
and you basically grew up on the road, is that right?
We did. My brother Frank, actually, he was born in a motorhome on the way to a gig. So we did really get started that way. And
so how did it work? Were you assigned instruments as kids so that you would have a full lineup of...
Correct.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
We didn't have a choice. So I've started on fiddle. I was, you know.
And what kind of music did you play?
A lot of gospel, bluegrass and gospel. We started out doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, actually, our first shows ever were, we did German sets, so we sang in German.
Wow.
So really, I guess, that's cooler than the other stuff.
So like old, like German folk songs and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. They weren't religious songs. Imagine that.
So when you're surrounded by that kind of music, how plugged in were you all to what was happening in pop music at the time?
Not at all. We weren't plugged in at all.
Is that even possible? I mean, I guess if you're living in motorhomes.
Very possible. Yeah, we didn't have TV or, you know, computers, nothing like that. We were very, very outdated.
Just to be clear here, we're talking about like the
worldly.
The 1990s, the early aughts. I mean, we're not talking about like the 1930s here.
We may as well have been. Yeah, we're, you know, a couple of us are still a little backwards, you know. with the modern technology, you know.
So how does schooling work when you're on the road that often?
We grew up, we were all homeschooled. We were basically no schooled. We didn't get much of a proper education, honestly.
So you grew up feral, basically, is what you're saying.
Well, what's that mean?
Thank you, Misa. Nice to have a drummer when you need one.
Yeah.
So when you did discover pop music, what was it? Was it hip-hop, the current stuff? Was it Beatles, et cetera?
Yeah, it was,
Scarlett?
It was Beatles, Beach Boys. And that was like in the, it was like
Come
in the
on,
like
baby,
probably
safari.
Like around the early two, like 2000, late 90s. That's when we discovered.
Let's go surfing
the Beatles
now. Everybody's
and the Beach Boys.
Learning how. Come on, it's a safari.
So was this like just kind of a head exploding moment? It's like, where has this been all my life?
Sure, I think everyone was extremely influenced by it. I think it was just like so cool because the music is so amazing that those influences, that musicianship and those harmonies and everything was very impactful.
Well, you know, for all that it seems weird to grow up in contemporary America without hearing a whole lot of contemporary American music, the fact is it stood you all in great stead. I mean, Lily Mae, I first saw you on that TV special called, is it Another Day, Another Country?
The Llewellyn Davis thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Another Day, Another Time, I think, or something
another
like
day,
that.
Another Time, yes. Which was this amazing documentary when the film Inside Llewellyn Davis came out. It was, I think it was Town Hall, and it was Jack White, and you're with Jack White, and Patti Smith is there, and Chris Thiele, and...
Yeah, Joan Baez was there.
Joan Baez.
The hallways were lined. It was unreal.
Yeah.
John Goodman was one of the MCs. Like, it was amazing.
So that kind of deep-rootedness, you know, that seems to be natural for you and for the family. Mm-hmm. So when it came time to start writing your own stuff, how long was it before you actually kind of discovered your own voice?
Personally, I started, like, finishing songs. I think I was, like, 14 or something, you know, and I think I've kind of always just had a similar style of writing. Me personally, I think, you know, I tried to write stuff before that, but nothing ever like clicked.
Yeah.
But Frank, he used to write a whole lot. You know, he was churning out some chart topping hits when he was about 11, you know, here, I'm just kidding. But he did write like Frank, you know, I think, you know, some of those things like that came naturally.
Yeah. And for you, you had to work a little longer at it.
I wouldn't call it work. I don't think I ever worked at songwriting.
Yeah. All right.
I tried to co-write a good handful of times, but...
Yeah. Well, now, the new record, Other Girls, seems to be maybe a step beyond the last record, Forever and Then Some, which Jack White produced. Did you have more of a hand in kind of the final sound of this record this time around?
Opposite.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not that I didn't have a hand in it, sure. But the last record, Forever and Then Some, I mean, that was, I had a lot of creative freedom in that.
Mm-hmm.
Loads. And we got to record like a bunch, and the time allotment was much larger, and we recorded tons of stuff in that. It was a lot more experimental. The new album was like, it was a lot, shorter time block, and obviously a different studio, different producer. Of course, it's going to be different, but, we definitely both mutually agreed upon songs and et cetera.
Right. It's interesting to hear you use the word experimental to describe the last record, because there are parts of this record right. that I think of as kind of really pushing boundaries. You know, the final song, the name mm-hmm. of which is it Love Dilly mm-hmm. Love?
Yes, sir.
And like the end of Terlingua Girl. I mean, there are moments where all hell is breaking loose, it sounds like, in the studio. And it seems like, you know, you really were kind of pushing against the usual box that we put a singer right. with your kind of sound in.
Well, I think like Love Dilly Love, like for instance, that ending, like Scarlett and I had come up with that before we went in the studio. We practiced that like whatever.
I feel like your new record is more experimental than the first one musically, but mm-hmm. as far as like, I mean, the first one we had more time to like play around with different ideas, but this one, a lot of the ideas were in place when we went in, but more, I think, is more experimental.
Like, right.
Yeah.
I guess we record the first album, as far as like experimental here in quotations, we recorded like 27 songs.
Right.
So there's a lot of wacky tunes that didn't make the record that we can't even find now. I don't know what happened to them.
well, but it seems like Jack White has a knack for unearthing all of these things in the fullness of time. It's, you know, he's constantly churning out stuff from someone's
sure.
basement. So
oh, right, right.
I'm sure that stuff is there somewhere.
Right.
So now you've been touring with the Raconteurs.
We opened for them for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then later this year, you'll be opening for and playing with Robert Plant. Is that right?
That's right. I'll be filling in for his normal fiddle player
uh-huh.
who had believe he had some dates that he had already had booked before they booked this leg of tour, so he needed to fulfill those.
Right. So you'll be the fiddler in the Sensational Shapeshifter
that's
band.
Right.
Very
Hell
nice.
Yeah.
So how nerve-wracking is that? There's a whole other songbook to learn by the fall, right?
You know, he doesn't have fiddle or violin, whatever. He doesn't have it on every song. So it's about 60% of his show, maybe 70%, I think.
Yeah.
Of his live set, so it's not a crazy amount of stuff. And I played one gig with him last September a year ago.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny because rehearsals start this year. Rehearsal starts on the same day the show was a year ago.
Hmm.
So a year ago, Misa and I drove down from Nashville and we drove to St. Louis and I played that one gig. So I will be, I'll be very nervous. I know I will be. And I was nervous enough to get my act together and, you know, I didn't smoke any herbs or anything of like that kind for a few days prior to that first gig. So
uh-huh.
I think I'll be a little more comfortable with the material around this time.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, that's something to look forward to as
so,
well.
So yeah, I was nervous for sure.
We're speaking with Lily May. Her brand new album is called Other Girls. You want to play another song for us?
Yes, yes.
This one.
I have to tune this for half a blink of a second because the air conditioning's knocked it out just a hair.
Now you are in standard tuning. It's not like you're a John Fahey style guitarist where every song requires a complete retuning of the instrument.
Right.
No need to worry about that now because Lily May is all tuned up and ready to go. Let's hear a song called How.
Thank you. Am I
The song is called How from Lily May and her band live here in the studio. The album is called Other Girls. How, having written these songs and recorded them in the studio and having had this kind of experimental cast on some of them, when you play them live and you don't have access to all the studio stuff, does the kind of underlying folkness of the song come out more?
Well, sure. Yeah. Sure. I think, I mean, you know, as far as like sounds and stuff go, like I really know a lot less about all that stuff than just about, you know, anything. Or I don't know, like, or pedals, stuff like that. I don't ever use anything like that. I never have. I'm not saying I won't or wouldn't. I just hadn't got there yet. But, you know, as far as like, if it was up to me or up to, you know, anyone, I think, you know, to have free 8 or 9 people here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a couple of acoustics, a tenor, because we did a lot, you know, a lot of
did you high use a
strung
tenor?
Oh. on a lot of that tune. So, like, you know, so, like, in tracking, we had Dave Cobb played a lot of the tenor stuff on
He produced the record, right?
He did, yep. And he played on almost everything, though, because we did it. We tracked everything live in a circle, so... So we'd all be sitting in a circle except for the drums.
Right. And the tenor guitar is as you say, it's a higher strung instrument.
So right. It has that cool, you know, it's got that cool sound. And I really, you know, that's something that's always missed. And if we had, you know, something such as unlimited funds, you know, whatever that is, we could have a couple extra things that would, you know, that would love to do that. But it's just, you know, that's not a reality.
So there's a song on the album. It's called A Golden Year. And, you know, it has that kind of psychedelia effect. But it struck me that underneath that, if you just played it acoustically, it would probably sound like a pretty old folk song. And maybe that's what
cool.
Is that what it sounded like when you first wrote it?
Well, when I first wrote it, I wrote that song at a place called The Refuge. It's in Appleton, Wisconsin, and it is it's an old monastery. Huh. And it's Corey Chisel and Adriel Denae's place, and with, you know, some other people. They've got, you know, there's a bunch of people involved, but it's an artist refuge, and anyone, you can go and live there. They have grants, government grants, and they have a gigantic, you know, it's a monastery, so the kitchen is just, like, huge. So they have this huge kitchen. There's all food is provided. There's all, you know, you can literally go and live for free. Mm-hmm. These artists and painters.
It's like an artist colony.
Photography. Yeah. And, like, it's incredible. You can go live indefinitely for free at this amazing place on the water. Anyway, they put on a lot of shows throughout the year. They do all kinds of stuff. And the Million Mile, I think it's called.
Huh. And that's where you wrote this.
Yeah, so we play up there. We've done a handful of shows for them up there. And they have a chapel. It's a beautiful little chapel. And they have a recording studio in the chapel. Erin Ray did a record in that, did her last record in the chapel. Like, it's a beautiful, it sounds really awesome in there. Yeah. But we were leaving and the van was loaded and everything. And I just went back in to do a check. Frank, he was the last one inside and his guitar case was in the hallway. And anyway, I just heard the song. It came to me from the chapel. And I just heard all these angels singing while they were saying, ah, ah, ah. And then when we recorded it, it was la, 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 la. Anyway, so that was like, that was just kind of our, you know.
Yeah. And what is a golden year?
I wrote that the day before my birthday. And so my birthday is the 26th. So I was 26, about to turn 27 the next day. So my golden year would have been 26. So it was a golden year comes to an end.
Okay.
So I was turning 27, so it was a year ago this year.
So the golden year is the date of the month that corresponds to the age that you are.
Yeah, so Frank's, he would have been 3 on his golden year. You know, Misa would have been 2. Scarlett was also 26.
Yeah, I've heard it called golden birthday many times, but I think the golden year might be your...
Maybe that's it, golden birthday. Oh, maybe I wrote it wrong.
I think the golden year is your...
I guess I screwed up.
That's your idea.
It's just the whole year.
Right.
It's your song. It's your, you intended whatever you intended, you know?
Right.
So this idea of, like, the place being really important to the process is a really interesting one. You know, the chapel in artist retreat. And
it was wild.
Yeah.
It was just, it just hit me like a freight train, you know, and I just like had to just write it out and just to sit down. I just sat down in the hallway and just wrote it.
But you were also part of the band, so to speak, in this documentary called The American Epic Sessions, which is about this studio where they rebuilt the first electric recording studio from like 1925.
Yeah, the guy Nick, he was collecting the pieces of this machine his whole life, I think.
Yeah.
For 20 years or something. It's pretty amazing.
So, I mean, stepping into a room like that, which may not be the most beautiful room, but still that kind of history.
It was amazing. It was such a special, special, special time.
Yeah.
Getting to be a part of that. It was absolutely unbelievable. One of the coolest things I'll ever... It's amazing that I got to be there.
So you
that was incredible.
And you do feel it. You feel the kind of the weight of history when you're in the...
Well, sure. But, I mean, also there were so many legends around, you know, and I was in the house band for that. There were a lot of musicians that did multiple things that were present for that, for most of that recording. I didn't play on everything, but like Taj Mahal or like some unbelievable artists. There's a Spanish singer, like unbelievable, just like chill bumps, like just like crying, just like watching this lady like sing. It's unbelievable. Like so many amazing artists got, you know, did that. And Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard did something together. Merle Haggard played my fiddle on that. He asked me if he could. I said, can I play that on a song? And I was like, of course you can. Here you go. I'm sorry, it's not better. So like, you know, so I was just sitting in a corner of that studio, sitting on the ground, just watching Merle and Willie work up these songs they hadn't sang in 30, 40 years, Lord knows how long. And so I was just like, I was a mess. I was just like bawling the whole time, just like watching these heroes just like.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
And recording on, as I say, the first electric recording studio in the world. So like a transformational moment in music history being recreated by all of you musicians sitting in a room.
You know, it was so special. But, you know, really, kudos to Nick, the man who put it together, because that wouldn't have existed if he didn't have some, you know, a crazy idea and wasn't able to track down all the pieces of this machine and spend time and years putting it back together. And
it was
amazing.
Such a great thing when someone's obsession turns out to be, you know,
so
really
amazing.
Important awesome.
The people that he was able to get involved in that, and T-Bone Burnett, and I mean, even Robert Redford was one of the people involved in that. Like so many people. It was just like incredible. Anyone who hasn't seen that or heard that or checked it out, it's worth checking out. PBS did a documentary series on that, and BBC.
Right.
Like, it's special.
The American Epic Sessions, and Lily Mae, as I said, is part of the house band. But here in the studio today, leading her own band, because the new album is full of great songs. It's called Other Girls. I have to say, men don't come off so well in some of these songs. I mean, in the more or less title track, you got Other Girls for that, and a song like At Least Three in This Room. I mean, you know.
Oh, man, I you know, anyone who knows me knows that, like, I'm the biggest supporter of dudes. I'm like, most, you know, I always have been. I'm like, I love guys. I've always played in lots of bands with lots of dudes, and I'm not a man hater whatsoever.
Yeah. It's just funny the way, the kind of gimlet eye that you cast at us men in some of these songs.
No, it's not us. There's no us about it. That was just one person. That was just for somebody.
Okay. All right.
No man haters here.
This next song on the album, at least, is one of the ones that really has this kind of 60s pop sheen to it. So I'm eager to hear how this is going to sound, you know, with just the five of you here in the studio. You want to play Crisp and Cold for us?
Sure thing.
All right.
It's crisp and cold in here a little bit.
Lily Mae is my guest on this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast. Here's the song called Crisp and Cold.
In your eyes, rendezvous is right. In a bind, wonder can be fine. Green says go, the moon dies, the sun is on the rise.
can't you tell it heals? Read the signs, much could be revealed. Crisp and cold, crisp and cold as a lie. And don't be scared, be more.
Cool. Crisp and cold. From Lily Mae and her band, live here in the studio. Lily Mae, did I hear correctly that you're going to be making your Grand Ole Opry debut?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And you're based in Nashville. This is like an iconic part of the scene there.
It really is. You know, I've always been a huge fan of the Opry. I've always loved it, and any chance I've ever got to go and just observe and or sit side stage and watch everyone... I've always loved it. Our family band played it 10 years ago, maybe a little more.
Uh-huh.
So I've played it before, but I've never played it, you know,
solo or
in this project. I've also got to perform on the Opry singing harmony with my brother Frank. We got to perform with Jim Lauderdale.
Oh, great.
Also, Jim brought me out there a couple months ago, not long ago. Mm-hmm. And, it's a very big deal for me, and being such a lover of the Opry for so long, and it's pretty amazing. It'll be awesome.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Grand Ole Opry debut and release of the new album, like, hard on the heels of each other.
It just came in the other day. It was like, holy crap, awesome. Yeah.
All right. And then the fall, touring with Robert Plant and his band, and times are good.
They sure are.
Is the family band still... The family band is now, I guess, in the rearview mirror at this point.
No, the family band still holds a place in time. the Rishis is the family band currently. Like, you know, we had a million different names through the years, but yeah. I think the family band will probably always be here as long as we still have fingers and tongues.
And still sing those German songs on occasion?
No, but we should. We ought to learn them again.
Yeah. Lily Mae's been...
Whatever. Drinking. Something. I don't know.
That was Frank's song.
Oh, that was Frank's. I don't know.
Can you at least sing Lily Marlene? Or?
Nope.
Nope? Okay.
Nope. Not yet. Maybe next time if we get to see you again.
All right. Lily Mae, it's been great having you and the band here playing for us today. Congratulations on everything that's happened, and looking forward to seeing you in the fall.
Thank you. That's so nice of you, and it's so awesome to be here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
Terralingua girl.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.